study of Revelation. We're going to continue where we left off with our discussion about chapter 11.
What I want to do to try to eliminate as much confusion as I can, okay? We were saying some things during the break, and I kept saying one, not seven. But anyway, I want to read to you to where you understand where people get the 7-year tribulation, okay? When I'm saying I don't see 7 years. And so I want to start reading in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. Where Daniel's had this vision, and Daniel's asking the Lord what this means. He's read the books of Jeremiah. He understands 70 weeks is 70 years that God has ordained that they, Judah, be into captivity, Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And Daniel realizes that the 70 years are coming to a conclusion. So he's wanting to get some answers. And so in picking up with verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon your people. Your people, that would be the Israelites, okay? And upon the holy city, that would be Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, it's important to note that, not the temple, but Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. A score is 20. 320 is 60, so that's 62 weeks. And the wall, even in troublous times. Now, I told you, you know, during the break that the time frame doesn't match when Cyrus released the captives to go back to Jerusalem to build the temple. To build the temple. But the time seems to come right in there when Nehemiah was released to go back, given permission to go back and build the city, build the walls of the city. Now, if you've read Nehemiah, you know that was done in troubled times. They had much opposition during this time. All right, he goes on to say in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, not for himself. So Jesus was not cut off for himself, was he? He died for the sins of humanity, right? And the people of the prince that shall come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof will be with the flood until the end of war. Desolations are determined. Now, we know that in A.D. 70, Titus, a Roman general, went in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. I mean, it was an utter destruction. Right? Now, verse 27. And remember, Daniel's in captivity because he has been taken to Babylon. But all Jerusalem, Judah was not defeated all at one time. There were, I think, 3 different times that Nebuchadnezzar sent his army in, and he would take captives at each interval. Okay? And Daniel and the 3 Hebrew children, they were actually captured at probably the first captivity. They go in the Babylonian captivity, okay? And so Jerusalem and all has not totally come to an end when Daniel goes in. All right? You have to keep all those things in mind. He goes on to say that he shall confirm the covenant with many for what? 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he will make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, I'm not trying to teach Daniel, and there's so much about that I don't understand anyway. But here's what I do understand. 3 segments, 7 weeks, 62 weeks. And when you add 62 and 7, you get 69 weeks. At the end of 69 weeks, Messiah was cut off. That math figures out from Nehemiah going back and rebuilding the walls to Jesus being crucified. Then that adds up. Now, we said in order for people to teach this 70th week and tie that 70th week into the Revelation and all that, they teach what's called a gap theory. Now, 7 weeks and 62 weeks were consecutive weeks. However, there are people who teach that the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled, and that it was done when A.D. 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed. They call Nero the Antichrist and all this type thing. But everything doesn't match up. The mountains move out of place. The islands move out of place. The sun, black as sackcloth of hair. The moon is blood. All these signs that he's given, we have nowhere in history that they've ever occurred. So I have no reason to believe that the revelation has already been consummated. You with me? And some people say we're in the millennia. If we're in the millennial reign, boy, am I deceived. If this is heaven on earth and Jesus is ruling with a rod of iron, man, I'm in trouble. I don't believe that. It doesn't add up. And so you have to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And these theologians that teach this, they're pulling segments. They're not taking all the information together. And you have to put all the information together. And I will tell you quick that I don't understand it all, okay? But I do know that the 70th week of Daniel, even in Daniel, it doesn't say tribulation. It says that there's a covenant made, a 7 year, in the 70th week, a covenant's made, but in the middle of that, the covenant's broken. And then that last 3.5 years, the Jews are going to suffer greatly because he's desecrating the temple with the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now, if that had already occurred, you look at the what's called the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus is talking about the end times and temple being destroyed and all this type thing. Well, I understand that Herod's temple has already been destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Herod's temple was destroyed by Titus. And so those things have already come to pass. So I don't struggle with that, but there's too many pieces of the puzzle that are missing to make that a final solution or a conclusion that all this has already happened. It all doesn't add up. New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Well, where's that? God, Jesus ruling with a rod of iron? Where's that? So all that won't hold water. But I wanted you to see where they get that. Okay? 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and then a long gap theory to teach the other seven. And yet everything we're looking at in the Revelation is saying 3.5. 42 months, 1,260 days, time supposedly is a year times 2 years, half time, 6 months. Time times half time would be 3.5 years. 1,260 days, 3.5 years. 42 months, 3.5 years. Okay? So I just throw that out. All right? And that's about all I know about that. You want to add to it? Okay. Okay. So with all that in mind, then we'll look at chapter 12 of the Revelation.
Yeah, that's good.
I've heard some dogmatic teaching on Revelation that they couldn't prove if their life depended on it. And so that's why I'm not ashamed to tell you we hit areas I don't know. And I know you don't either. Because it's not there. Secret things belong to God. Things that are revealed belong to us and our children. Okay? You ready?
No.
I got her all shook up over here.
Okay. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God, and has the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay. It says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Sun's illumination, right? And the moon was under her feet. The moon is what? Reflection, right? Illumination and the reflection of the illumination. The woman described in this verse appears to be, to me, the nation of Israel that gave birth to Jesus. The 12 stars would apparently be the 12 tribes of Israel. The illumination of both God's law and grace was to be displayed by Israel. Okay? Every Gentile nation that reflects God's law and grace, either directly or indirectly, is going to receive illumination from Israel. Where did Israel get its illumination from? God. Right? And so the woman was pregnant. She cried out because of her birth pangs, and the pain of her delivery was severe. Israel was pregnant with the Messiah. Okay? Israel went through much opposition and pain giving birth to the Messiah. They're under Roman rule at this time. You with me? Another sign appeared in heaven. This is a great flame-colored serpent. Where the King James Version uses the word dragon, if you look the Greek word up, it's serpent. Okay? And it had 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail drew the third part of the stars in heaven, cast them to earth. And then the serpent stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. His intent was to devour the child as soon as it was born. Remember what Herod did? His intent was to kill the wise men, ask him about the king of the Jews, where is he born? His intent was to kill Jesus. His intent was to kill the Messiah, okay? And the heads represent dominions or kingdoms. The horns represent authorities or political powers. And the crowns represent the positions of power. There are striking similarities between the serpent of Revelation 12 and the dangerous animal of Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, which we'll see later on. Both the serpent and the dangerous animal, that's what's called beast, I suppose, in your translation, have 7 heads, 10 horns. The serpent has 7 crowns, and the dangerous animal of chapter 13 has 10 crowns. The stars that were cast to the earth by the serpent are probably the angels who followed him in his rebellion. Although the time the child is born and the time the dangerous animal is revealed to John are different. Okay? And so we have to remember that when John saw the dangerous animal of Revelation 17, he was told that 5 heads had fallen. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the time Jesus was born, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians and Grecians had already fallen from power. The Romans were ruling at the time Jesus was born, but it was Herod who attempted to kill Jesus by killing all the male children 2 years old and under. Obviously, Satan was the motivating force behind Herod's action. Now, we must realize that the serpent, who is Satan, and he's identified, he'll be called that, okay, is the one who gives power to the dangerous animal of Revelation 13. The devil gives power to that beast of Revelation 13. Now, the woman gave birth to a male child, note this, who was to rule all races with a rod of iron. The woman's child was suddenly taken to God in his throne. How did Jesus ascend? He went up in a cloud, supernaturally, right? And Jesus is the only one that I can see or know of that was to rule with a rod of iron. Now, This phrase, I believe, gives insight to the male child who, in turn, identifies the woman. Israel gave birth to Jesus. So it appears that the male child, Jesus, the woman who gave birth, symbolizes the nation of Israel, and then specifically the tribe of Judah from which Jesus came forth. Now, according to Revelation 19:15, Jesus is the one who will rule all races with a rod of iron. According to Acts 1:9, Jesus was taken up into heaven in a cloud, right? Now, the woman ran away in the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God. In this place, she would be nurtured for 1,260 days. Do your math, that's 3.5 years, considering a month being 30 days by the Jewish calendar. Okay? And there was war in heaven. Michael, who is the prince, the mighty one, of the archangel as is often referred to, and his angels fought against the serpent and his angels, and the serpent and his angels could not prevail, neither could their location be found anymore in heaven. In other words, they were cast out of heaven. Now, John heard a loud voice in heaven said, "Now is come salvation, power, the kingdom of God, the authority of Christ, because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused the brethren before God day and night." Now, take you back to Job, the first chapter and the second chapter of Job. The sons of God are meeting before God, and Satan appears. What's Satan doing? He's accusing Job before God. He's the accuser of the brethren. So any time that you think you want to talk about another brother and accuse him, understand you're under the influence of Satan. The brethren love the brethren. They don't accuse them. Okay? Now, with all those things in mind, it says that he's cast out because he accused the brethren before God day and night, and says the brethren overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives, but were willing to die. So many martyrs, you understand, so many people killed for their witness for Jesus. That's how the church was birthed. Heaven and all who dwell in it are told to rejoice. When the serpent and his angels are cast out, heaven says, rejoice. And then he says, "Woe is pronounced to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to them." And he's very angry because he knows he has but a short time. And so he's going to execute his wrath against the people of God. You remember what Jesus said in Genesis 3 to the serpent? "You would bruise the woman's seed, the heel, but that woman's seed will bruise your head." And so this is referring to the trying to get at the woman's seed. Ultimately, obviously, that was Jesus. But then look what Jesus has produced. Okay, that seed as well. "And the woman was given two wings like that of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to the place where she'll be nurtured for a time, times, and half time." As we explained earlier, we believe that's 3.5 years. "And she'll be removed from the presence or power of the snake," or Satan. Okay? Now, don't just take this literally as the flying away. What it's saying is that there is a divine protection being given here to where Israel can't be destroyed. Do you understand, from the time, even when it came out of Egypt, Israel has always been the arch enemy of the world. And people all through the ages have been trying to destroy the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is about the size of New Jersey, and yet it dwells in the midst of arch enemies that would take it out in a second if they could. But they haven't been able to do it all these years, and neither will they be able to do it, because God has a covenant with Abraham that he will keep. And he'll see to it that this doesn't happen. And so it says the serpent spewed water out of his mouth in an attempt to destroy the woman. And you can interpret that however you want to. He said, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up and swallowed. This is metaphorically. Okay? And so the earth opens up and swallows the water, and so that cannot be drowned, if you will, cannot be destroyed at that particular time. Now, the water spewing from the serpent's mouth probably refers to the people who seek to annihilate Israel. Satan's influenced them, okay? And the earth opening its mouth and swallowing the water probably refers to a political system that prevents Israel from being annihilated. Now, you know, I'm not setting any of this stuff in concrete, but I'm just telling you that's the way I believe it was revealed to me. Okay? Now, the serpent was enraged with the woman, so he went to make war with her remaining seed who kept the commandments of God and hold to their testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, national Israel didn't hold to the testimony of Jesus. But because of national Israel, then there had been what's called Christians reproduced. Okay? And so Christians are persecuted and are being persecuted heavily today. You with me? Okay. Now, that ends our 12th chapter. And our time's up because we're going to have to do something here with the test. And then our next session, we're going to get into that 13th chapter that is so talked about with the beast and the mark of the beast. And I'm going to show you some things. That's why I had the marker board out, but we didn't get that far. Okay? And so you can go ahead and read it and you can tell me your revelation, all right? Okay. Now we'll speak the blessing over you. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. All right, did we help you or confuse you? Both.